It's time for a brand new edition of Bid Nerd, your daily nerd out on the most interesting car of the day from all the auction sites. My name is John Polnick, along with my partner Michael Deeb in San Francisco. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. How are you, partner, sir? Michael Deeb.
Deja vu, John? Deja vu?
How is that?
I'm so glad I got you on camera. We covered this car before.
Oh, today's most interesting car was the most interesting car from another day as well. It's amazing how that works out. Yeah. Well, before we get to today's most interesting car, we want to say thanks to all of our good friends at Godden Classic and Godden Porsche of Las Vegas. They, those guys are just awesome, man. They came out to Cars and Cafe last weekend. We had a really great showing, tons of cars, tons of great people. Godden Classic brought out a 964.
What color
RS in polar? So it was just
nice.
Man, that car is so hot.
That's
with
dope.
The black interior. Yeah,
kind
of a pretty much dream car. Lots of other cars that would definitely fall into that dream car camp. Check out. I just need to start making more video content. But you can follow Cars and Cafe on IG if you guys ever find yourself in Las Vegas on the last Sunday of the month. Come and join us in the Arts District. It's a great time. And Godden Classic helps us out with that as well. So that's a good time. Michael Deeb, are you getting excited about Luft Cult? We got Luft Cult on.
Oh, my God. There's so much going on. So much going on. Yeah, it's going to be really fun. Please, again, if you're part of the Nerd Herd, you watch this show, know that me and JP and a couple of our really good friends, Yuri and Ben the Professor and Naveed, are planning to do quite a few things to make the whole weekend fun, namely a professor-run rally out of South Marin, up the coast of Marin, and probably into the bottom of the Sonoma coast. That should be a ton of fun. So watch the space. Reach out to us directly if you think you're going to be in the Bay Area for Luft Occult 9 at the end of April. Let us know, and we will get you the details of an invite-only open house after the Professor Run rally on the cusp or on the eve of the Luft Occult weekend. It should be a blast, and we look forward to maybe meeting some of you guys in person. There'll be food, music, cool cars, and swag bags, and of course, the nerds themselves will be there in the flesh. So please let us know if you're going to be around. It's going to be epic.
Yeah, man, everyone in our kind of Bid Nerds ecosystem, the whole DeFossil Nation ecosystem, Rami from the Rami Show is going to be there. Dwayne Wick from Dur or Die Porsche Podcast is going to be there. Pretty much everyone who's anyone in our little world is going to be at this show. So it's going to be great to really meet a bunch of you guys. So, all right. What is the most interesting car from some other day that is also that interesting today? What's going on, Michael Deeb? What do we got?
John, if I could call your attention to December 9th of 2020, do you remember what you were doing on that day?
I'm going to be reminded. I'm guessing I was looking at this car.
No, it's the first time me, you, and Dwayne went live to watch an auction close on Bring a Trailer, and we filmed it live. I think we did it on IG. I think it's prior to our YouTube-ness, but this car, unfortunately, we talked for minutes leading up to the close of the auction, and this car didn't really get another bid, so it was very anticlimactic, but it's the first time we covered a car when it closed and it failed to sell at $230,000. And what we are talking about is now on P Car Market, this 1975 Porsche 911S backdate built by Patrick Motorsports with a twin turbo motor. I mean, JP, look at this fire breathing dragon. It is unbelievable. What a car. Just unreal. So it's a 3.6 that was bored out to 3.8. They call it a GT2 based 3.8 liter engine featuring a twin plug head with two turbochargers and an output of 600 horsepower on very low boost. The car otherwise has, it's a very typical RSR backdate with an oil cooler in the front, wide fenders, grafted onto the front and rear of the car. It's got some really cool racing inspired side view mirrors. It's got a ducktail spoiler, center exit exhaust, a big fuel cell with a fuel filler hole drilled in the front hood. And then the interior is bespoke. Like, the color is really interesting. In the old photos from BAT, the car looks pretty teal, pretty green. But in these photos of the car taken in the sunlight on P Car Market, the car looks very blue, almost, you know, more Miami bluish than a teal color per se. But the interior is where it gets really subjective, because they've taken that teal color and blended it with a very off-putting caramel houndstooth, and then the fixed back seats, leather thick steering wheel, and they even covered, they use the same leather to cover a roll bar that goes throughout the inside of the car. So the inside is going to be very take it or leave it, but the outside of the car, I think, has a really broad appeal. I will just go out on a limb and say, I don't think this car is for everybody. I don't think most Porsche drivers should be to have access to that much power in this light of platform. I would say that most guys, John, probably would be dangerous behind the wheel of this car. It is that effing fast. I mean, if you look at the specification of the car and consider the curb weight, you're talking about a car that has more power and less mechanical grip and less weight than a contemporary GT3 RS. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is stratosphere stuff. It's really out there. The car failed to sell on BAT, but I would say that we did that really tucked up into a time when there was still a lot of things in this country were closed, and a lot of communities were still experiencing like a shelter in place kind of thing. I think this car stands a better chance today. But with inflation and all the things that are going on, is this the best time to be selling this car? And this is certainly not the best platform for it. I actually think this car would have done better on Marked, to be perfectly honest with you, and certainly could have could have used better photography than what was done here, JP. Otherwise, the car is the same. It doesn't look like it has any miles on it at all. When you listen to it start up in the driving video, it's the kind of engine noise that'll just get like, it'll get your soul going, where it'll make you want to think, when's the next time I could go out and drive my car? Because that motor sounds amazing. This car looks incredible. The interior is definitely not for me. I think it's hideous, but they're always subjective. The guy who built it obviously loved it. So maybe there's another ass for the seat out there somewhere in P-car market land. Personally, John, I don't think it's going to happen here, not on this platform, but I've been wrong about them before. So JP, what do you think, man? First of all, I know you'd love to drive this car, but would you ever stand and look at a car and go, okay, you're offering me this car, but could you ever look at a car and go, that's too much power? Like, it doesn't need to be that fast. This thing is insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fun question, but you know, I mean, can there ever be too much power? Give me a break.
No,
I mean,
just no.
You know, we talked about a 996 turbo on a previous episode, and I used to have one that was like super modded and had, I did actually kind of think that car had too much power, but it was still tons of fun when I wanted it. But I just didn't enjoy it as much as I would have a car with less power, but it's hard to say that it had too much power. I don't know. This particular car, you know, how many times have you seen someone say, it's like a Singer, it's just like a Singer, it's a Singer,
oh, right,
but less money or whatever. And yeah, look, I'm guilty of it. We, on our sister channel, The Rami Show, we have a film about my personal car. I own a Backdate, right? And,
yeah,
you know, the title is, you know, is this car a, you know, like, is this car as good as a Singer? And in the video, we say, no, it's not. It's just, you know, it's... If you want to kind of go that direction, this is kind of a great way to get a lot of the performance that's similar to, but you know, look, it's not a $1 million car. Singers are going for $1 million or more. This particular car, it failed to sell what, at 200 something thousand dollars?
230.
230. You know, and you're right, that was a weird time in history. That's how much Singers were for the longest time. But you start looking at the details about this car, back to my original point, and you realize why a Singer is a Singer and everything else that ain't. You know, this is not a Singer. This is definitely a Singer wannabe. There are cars that are Singer inspired, and there are cars that are just blatant knockoffs. And it's amazing that this car, as awesome as it is with all the function, I mean, that engine has got to be just unbelievable.
Oh,
driving this car has just got to be a monster. But the aesthetic attention here, even though it's executed, you know, perfectly, it's the aesthetic ideas that are a failure here. They just get the little stuff wrong in a huge, huge, huge way. And it's obvious. Anyone that knows what a Singer is would look at that. No one would be fooled. you know, except the buyers who were going to be trying to tell everyone and convince when the owner of this car goes, yeah, it's just like a Singer. They're trying to convince themselves. Everyone else is going, yeah, whatever, buddy. That interior is the interior is so horrible. Well, yeah, it's not that the color combination could work, right? I mean, this is a color combination that Singer has done, this kind of teal with the caramel interior with the teal accents. But there, with this car, it's with a Singer, it's just enough that it's perfect. With this particular car, unlike a Singer, it's like, I'm embarrassed for you. This is horrible.
So Singer's slogan is a 911 reimagined by Singer, and what you have here is a 911 reimagined by Bob. You know,
like, Gary and Dip.
Gary in Indiana. You know, like it's just so it falls short, but the performance is got to be ungodly. And I do think if you could pick up this car for a song, you could reimagine it to a better degree and fix a few of the things that are messed up. The trouble is they claim that when the car was built, the original owner invested over $500,000, over $500,000 invested here. When it failed to sell at $230,000, we don't know what the reserve was at or what they were trying to get. But I'm guessing it's going to be up there. And I'm also guessing it's not going to happen again for the current owner of this car on the P car market platform. I just don't think it's going to go much further than where it's at. So John, are you ready for some of the numbers?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
All right. So our car is going to close a couple days from now. So it does have a little bit of time left. It's currently at $150,000 on 8 bids. But I still think this car is going to be, I think it'll put another 100 grand on, but I think it'll fail to sell. So I'm going to give you $250,000 as my final bid on P car market with an FTS, and that it winds up in the deal tank for somewhere north of 300 grand. So I just think it's going to fail again. I think it's going to just do kind of what it did on BAT. I actually think this car should have gone back to BAT with better photos, and then I think it would have stood a chance. But these photos, this platform, all the money that's invested here, I don't see it bringing more than 250, and I'm guessing 250 isn't enough.
I agree with you that the seller wants a lot more. I think that this car will be bid to more. If it got to 250 back when things were pretty rough, the market with inflation and people still spending a lot of money on high-end stuff, I think that this car will definitely do better than that. I'm going to go like 275.
I'm going to take the over.
Heck, this thing could get 300, but I'm with you. I don't think the seller is going to sell it for that. I think, you know, we've talked about how, inflation is a big thing between 2020 and now.
Yeah.
At 250 money with regular inflation would be, I mean, that's definitely 300 and what, 320 or something like that with 10% inflation each year. But then you talk about used car inflation and classic car inflation, you're talking about somewhere closer to 400. Ooh. So I'm guessing the guy that owns this thing thinks it's worth that. And I think there's going to be a few people out there, because there's a lot of people with a lot of money and really, really horrible taste that also are going to be like, oh yeah, I got a car that's just as good as Singer, but I only spent $350,000. Those Singers are a million. I mean, you know, at 350, the delta to a million is a long way for that douchebag that wants this car. This is a boomer bedazzled jeans guy that just doesn't know
Ed
what
Hardy.
The hell he's doing with his money. Yeah, yeah. It's just, this is so bad. But talk about the perfect platform. The thing that's going to be interesting, and it's too bad that we can't be a fly on the wall and record the phone conversations that are going to happen between P car market and the owner of this car, because there's going to be more grinding than a gay, dating app. This is going to be hardcore downward pressure on this seller to sell this car.
Meatpacking district. Yeah,
exactly.
Here we go.
And look, I don't like the owner of this car and I don't like the seller of this car. That is the platform, right? I think that if you own this car, you have bad taste, you're doing the right thing trying to get rid of it. The P car market people and the seller of this car having a conversation together, it's just got to be like, oh my god, Like
they're
the boomer vortex of the universe.
They're sharpening their axe right now because this car closes in a couple days.
And yeah.
They're gonna start whittling this thing down. So we'll see what happens. I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to find out what the reserve is for this car. But
you'll find out in the deal tank. Yeah.
Wind up in the deal tank. Yeah. So anyways, there you go.
What do you guys think will be the result of the P-car market auction of this just pukey, ugly, amazing, awesome car? It's just, you know, if you could be blind and drive this car, it'd be great. If you could be blind and hear the car go by or be a passenger, it'd be awesome. But to look at it, ugh, the worst.
So John, before, when we looked at the car before, I bid $290,000 and you bid $270,000 that week in December. And then we got Wick on the show in the middle of the day. We watched it close. It was the first time we had done that. And it stalled out at $230,000 on, let me just read it to you real quick, just so we can give everybody the numbers just for fun. 21 bids. So it'll be interesting to see how it compares this many years later, but on a lesser platform. I mean, even Bring a Trailer is a stronger version of Bring a Trailer today than it was when he did it back then. You know what I mean? Like, he should have gone back.
The thing that I think might cook us both, though, is the fact that that engine is a Patrick Motorsports engine. That engine's worth $300,000 probably just there. I mean,
600 horsepower, and that car probably weighs 2,500 pounds.
Rattle the can this thing with some Plasti Dip and put some sheepskin seat covers from Shucks Auto Supply, and it'll probably still get 300. You'd probably get the $300,000 or $400,000, and then you wouldn't see that hideous interior. Put a prototype on there or something like that.
By the numbers, it's McLaren F1 specification. 600 horsepower, 2,500 pounds. I mean, you're talking F1, like, on paper.
I think you and I are probably in for a big surprise. I think this car's going to bring a lot more money than either one of us.
We'll see.
Of that powertrain. And, you know, people aren't as biased as we are. But we will find out. Let's go ahead in the future. Now's the time to put your bid in. We know that a lot of you guys do that. And you put your timestamp next to it, which makes you super awesome. So play along. Play the prices right. Let's find out what happens with this really ugly car right after this. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Gauden Porsche of Las Vegas and Gauden Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Gauden, this guy.
1989 linen gray metallic G50 cab.
Is that gonna be for sale?
It is gonna be for sale. The car only has 65,000 miles.
Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for, Gauden Porsche of Las Vegas.
If you love watching car videos on YouTube, you got to check out my channel, The Rally Show.
Oh, this car. I am driving.
Yeah, Rami is driving a Lamborghini. Hey, while we were in the time machine here going into the future, we had a chance to hang out with our good friend, Chef Williams. Shout out to Chef. Congratulations on your new 930 Porsche that you bought on BAT. He won an auction last week. He won that auction on a Tuesday, and he had the car on Thursday morning. He bought
Good
it.
You know,
he bought it in LA, and they had it shipped out here. So they did a great job. Sandlot Motors, I guess, out of LA. We don't know them, but they did a
good job. JP, once again, affirming that money talks, right? Like, Chef could afford to have the car shipped out. The car was there in 48 hours. You and I would still be making arrangements to go get it.
Well, but that's – okay, so that's interesting you bring that up. A lot of times when you buy cars here from one of these auction sites, particularly if it's a dealer from Los Angeles and California in general has a lot of stupid rules. I mean, oh, my God, the rules in California are absurd. They would not let him come and get the car. They were like, it has to be shipped out of here. So, you know, we were talking about, okay, well, do we have him ship it to the state line? We go pick it up in Prim or something like that. But ultimately it was easier just to have him ship it all the way.
Indeed, yeah. If the car touches the ground in California, they want you to pay them their money. That it's, yeah. The, what do we call it? The Republic of California?
The Republic of California. Well, that's brought up a lot of stuff too. You know, I mean, like we have Luft is coming up later in the month here, and we're talking about coming out, and we have all these things going on, and a lot of people, particularly in Vegas, are like, we're all sitting here going, we want to go. There's some goofy crap going on. But the big problem, everyone, myself included to a certain extent, it's like, where the hell are we going to like park? Like literally, you know, if we have six or seven guys come from Las Vegas and we drive the 8 hours to come to the Bay Area, it's not like we can just drive to your restaurant downtown and park in front of your restaurant. There's no way we're leaving a bunch of, you know, classic Porsches out there in front of the street. What do we do?
Not overnight. I don't know, man. We'll have to come up with a solution. You either rent a house in the suburbs, right? So the Luft is up in Vallejo. So if you get up into Marin or Novato or lower Sonoma, Napa, you could probably find an Airbnb and that neighborhood will be safe to park your cars and leave them outside overnight. But if the Vegas crew really needs a solution, maybe we talk to Rafi and he's got a fenced barbed wire corral. The cars would be outdoors, but they'd be under lock and key. And that would be the safe way to do it.
How much of a Uber ride is it from South Sonoma to the restaurant?
Yeah, cost prohibitive.
Cost prohibitive. There it is. Okay, yeah, I guess we'll have to just rent an SUV or something. All right, guys. Speaking of dumb, the results of this car on B-Car Market, could they be described as anything other than that? Tell us what happened, Deep.
John, what we're looking at is that 1970.
There it is.
That 1975 911S with the Patrick Motorsport 3.8 liter RSR twin turbo backdate with like what they say 600 horsepower. It's worth noting that in when was this? Oh my God, give me the date here. I'm going to open this up real quick and just spit. Come on. Here we go. On December 9th of 2020, this car failed to sell on Bring a Trailer, and me, you, and Wick covered it live. But here we go on P Car Market. I gave you my same bid, John. I said that this car would go to $250,000. You said $275,000. You've also said repeatedly on this show that the engine will drive the value of a build on a Porsche. And this has got to be one of the sickest motors we've seen on any backdate, period. A 3.8 RSR twin turbo with 600 horsepower. That's a big motor. This is a big result. Our car sold on P-Car Market for $310,000 on 42 bids. And I'd say that's a fair value for the car. I think that's all the money for a car that has been owned by two or three people since it was built. So that number makes sense. The fact that they got it on P-Car Market is the surprise. Congratulations to everybody involved. And John, you won that one. You took the over. And you know, you're only $35,000 away from a Yahtzee.
Only 35,000. Yeah. It's tough to take a celebratory lap being that off. I mean, but at the same time, you know, I'm playing the Price is Right game with all of you guys out there in the audience. All I got to do is bid over or under to win. Right. So if I were on my own and I, you know, or like if I had gone first, I probably would have bet way higher just because, yeah, again, that engine was just stupid. It was just crazy stupid. And that is really the thing. You're right. We didn't really like a lot of the aesthetic choices of this car, but a lot of that stuff could have been reversed. Still though, even at three and change, that's still way, way, way less than a Singer. And this car is definitely right there in Singer performance, is it not?
It's got to be faster than a Singer. It might not be as congruent, like the way everything works together. This is somebody just snapped a bunch of pieces onto an old 911S, whereas Singer really rebuilds the car and the way they weld things and the way they brace things and the way they tune things. This is just a parts bin catalog of things thrown at a car, probably fine-tuned by the really good people at Patrick Motorsport. But this, despite being quicker and faster and arguably a better lap time than a Singer, Singer feels like, and again, I but just based on everything I've heard, a car that was created, you know, and reimagined, as they say, completely from the ground up. Whereas this is a car where everything's been grafted onto an old 911S, and it's just the best of everything with way more power. I mean, John, by the numbers, I mean, this is GT2 performance and probably 1,000 pounds lighter than a GT2. I mean, this car is insane. So actually, the more I think about it, $300,000 probably is under market value, and I think the guy might have stole it. They said they paid $500,000 to build this thing, and that was several years ago. And we know that you could not do that again today without spending $700,000 or $800,000. So if you paid $300,000 for an $800,000 build today and didn't have to wait, that's a pretty good value right there. I think somebody did really well. And with all the money you left, you saved, you can un-F that interior and make the car look a little bit nicer. Put some meatballs on this car. It would look really cool, right?
Yeah, you could salvage that color. The interior is tough, but also salvageable with money. Then you're going to, I mean, geez. So, yeah, what do you guys think of the results of this? Would this have done better on BAT? Do we think it would have really bought any more money? Or do you think that, you know, here's a question for you, Deeb. We talk about all the time, like, you know, the value of blue chip collector Porsches. So call it like an M491 89 with 15,000 miles on it, and in a popular color, that's just perfect in stock, right? That's
right.
That's kind of like the safest class, because it's stock, it's blue chip, it's original. You're never going to have anyone argue with that. Then you have these hot rods, stuff, you know, okay, you've got a project and people have put a bunch of money into it. And then, okay, we've talked about how expensive these engines are to build. Okay. So it feels like the blue chip original cars, the sky's the limit when it comes to value. The value will just go up and up and up. If it's something really rare, $500,000 is no problem, right? I mean, like a 993 or a 964 RS, from Europe or something like that with low miles would bring $500,000, right? Whereas these hot rods, unless it says Singer on the side, I feel like there's a cat. Is there any hot rod other than a name brand like Singer, or what's the 993 one? Gunther Works. You've got Gunther Works and Singer, these hot rodders who have built a brand around their builds.
Yeah.
Is there any other hot rod, do you think, that's going to bring more than 3.5? Like, no matter what, like, I don't know. Even if this car was freaking was just a way better color, and the interior was sick, and everything about it was just awesome, do you think it really would have brought any more money anywhere on another platform?
I don't know. It's like you want to argue that, like, oh, if it went to BAT, we'd got more money. Well, it was on BAT, and it didn't. I know that was a different time at the end of 2020, but this car on paper ticks every box, right? It's a 75, but it's smog exempt in California. It's RSR'd out, and it's got a Patrick Motorsport turbo motor and rear wheel drive. I mean, if this car isn't bringing 3.5, then I don't see how any car could.
I get that, right? I hear that answer, and I agree with you, right? If this car doesn't get 350, I don't know how any other car could.
Yeah.
Can we think of an example of a non-branded hot rod on any platform in the last 3 years that we've been paying attention, bringing more than 3.5? It seems like 3.5 is the cap for a non-branded hot rod, no matter how badass it is.
Yeah, I say in my numbers would be the maximum you get for an F body, RSR build, like with an MFI motor or something, is in that $220,000 to $300,000 range. I can't remember a hot rod that wasn't a name brand bringing $350,000, even that number. To me, this is sort of the high watermark at $310,000. But there was one, but I don't remember it.
That's why I bring up the question, because, like, I know there are a lot of people out there that are going, all right, I want that Singer. But to get one, it's $1,000,000, right? And years to wait if you can get on the list. So there's a lot of people that are kind of in this lurch going, all right, well, I'll go spend $500,000 on some you know, hot rod project and get a car that's just as good and not pay for that brand or that's almost as good or whatever. I think the lesson to be learned here is if you are in that scenario, like I have a buddy, I'm not going to name names, but you know, he has a couple of cars being built in, you know, at a well-known place in the Midwest.
A name brand place.
A name brand place, but it's not Singer and it's not Gunther Works, and they're not particularly known for specifically making, you know, hot rod air-cooled packages. They're well known for doing those cars, but it's not like brand X car, you know, brand X, you know. So his question is always, you know, where's my cap? Like, how much do I put into this thing? You know, can I put in $500,000 and expect to get that out of it? And I haven't really been able to answer that question until I feel like this is the epiphany right here. $350 is it. That's all you're getting for your hot rod, no matter how badass it is. The only way you're getting more than $350 for a classic Porsche is if it's rare, original, or has Singer or Gunther Works stamped on it somewhere.
Maybe
Kremer or something like that.
That's a pretty strong take. I know who you're talking about. I know the brand that you're talking about. That brand is definitely making a name for themselves. And but it'd be hard to argue sensibly against the take you just made. He might dump $500,000 or maybe a few tens of thousands more into his particular build. But yeah, in the secondary market, especially if he goes and puts, you know, 10,000 miles on it, gets a couple of stone chips and there's some wear marks in the leather or whatever he does with that car, it'd be hard to imagine him getting more than $350,000 in the secondary market, unless inflation continues to grow and grow and grow, in which case who's left to buy anything anyways, right?
I mean, that's a very good point. And you know, that's the other question is like, okay, $350 is the cap, with adjusted for inflation, right? So yeah, right. In a year from now, if $350 is only worth, you know, if it takes $600,000 to get something that was worth $350, okay, that's an inflationary issue. But the value adjusted for the real dollar value right now, if you want to cap it, is somewhere in that $350 range.
Yeah. The only thing against that, what we just agreed on, is if he took delivery of the car, even if he kept it for a year, but just never drove it, like say he trailered it to a car show and they put it on a platform and a lot of people took Instagram photos of it. If he never drove the car, then maybe he could get over $400,000 for it. But I still don't think he would get all of his investment back. It just doesn't seem likely.
I don't get that one at all. I mean, who cares if if it's kept in perfect shape, and I mean, I just,
yeah, then it's the still only, the fresh. Only,
but so what? I mean, this car's pretty much fresh. I mean, I don't think fresh or not, we haven't seen any hot rod get more than $350.
Right off the
showroom floor of whoever built it or driven for a while. It just there's no exception other than name brand hot rods. You know, I mentioned just a second ago, Roof what's the other one? Yeah, I mean, Roof, maybe Gumballer or something like that. Kremer, you know, but those are classic. Those guys aren't even really I mean, Roof is still building stuff. So, yeah, that's another example. But if it doesn't, the moral of the story is there's a bunch of people out there building these one-off amazing hot rods with all the bespoke stuff. But if you don't have a name brand on it, it ain't going to appreciate. That would be the exception for the person that we're talking about, is that if between the time that he takes delivery of it and maybe a year later, that brand gets out there and promotes themselves and becomes a brand like Singer and Gunther and is known at that point, you know, if they build that brand, then okay, you're in the money, then that could work. But if it's a one-off, or if that brand doesn't step up and it's just another really cool, great one-off hot rod, I think you're stuck. That's it.
Yeah.
You'll spend more than $3.5 on your hot rod if you want to see any of that money back. What do you guys think of that take? Let us know in the comments below. Are there any other Porsche hot rod builders out there that you think might be in that same category of getting more money than that $350? Have you seen an example of a hot rod that's gotten more money than that? Let us know in the comments below. We'd sure like to reconcile our BS takes with reality. What's that, Deep?
One more little tidbit. Roof is building a brick and mortar design studio in South Florida, in Miami, so that you will now be able to just travel to Miami and design your $1 million custom backdated Porsche, and they'll ball it all out.
They're doing it on air-cooled cars, not just modern stuff?
I don't know what they're doing, but they're building a brick and mortar studio in the US, and that's a first for Roof. So they are back in business, man. And my guess is clients go down there and then they take you out and show you a really good time, because yeah, you're going to probably sign on the dotted line for some extraordinary money.
I would have assumed that that was all the modern stuff, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
So
it might
that'll be,
it
something
might be.
To talk
yeah.
about, in the, something to talk about in the future. All right, guys, yeah, that's it. We'll see you tomorrow on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. Bid nerds, bye. Where's the Woo. End of the show? We have the end of a show. Oh yeah. It's right there.
Get those nerds!